secrets that you hide.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 128. I am Statler.
And I am Waldorf.
And I'm Sir Dan.
Oh!
No, I am in the peanut gallery this week because not only did I not record the show last week, I didn't play in any of the tournaments this week either.
I know. What's going on?
Yeah, I've been busy.
That's true. And you know what? I for one will be grateful because I'm sure a lion's share of it, at least this week, has been in preparation for the rocket race.
Yeah. I know a lot of people travel out to San Diego for various things. If you happen to be here next weekend, the weekend of the, what is it, the 12th, 19th, we're doing the whatever annual rocket race in San Diego, which is a puzzle race around San Diego with sci-fi stuff and driving and solving puzzles. So, you know, it's fun, but it takes a lot of work to get set up.
And, yeah, I think this will be the 6th.
Yikes. Yeah, that sounds about right.
If my math is right, because I know that we've won two and another team has won two and another team has won one. So there's been at least five.
All right. So that's been taking up my time, but there was a impromptu 1E tournament on Saturday, and there was a Wednesday tournament the week before, or am I thinking of something else?
Nope, that's right. The week before that was Wednesday, 2E for three rounds. And then because you've been so busy with the rocket race and with the warehousing, and then we were going to have Thanksgiving, we were going to end up with no Saturday tournaments in the month of November here in San Diego. And so
That won't do.
That won't do. So, you know, four of us came out. Well, four and a half, I guess. To play 1E this weekend. Nate came. He was, I guess he had a fifth wheel syndrome, or whatnot. It was actually kind of a schedule shuffler, since we moved our tournaments up to 2 p.m. Thomas Weinberg had to work until 3 unexpectedly, and so we gave him the first round bye, and Nate was not making his first foray into 1E, but you know, he's still learning. He's picking it up, and I guess he did not have a very good first round, and he had some other things that he could have been doing, so he volunteered to drop so that we could not have a bye for the rest of the tournament. So that's four and a half, four and a third, I guess, since he was there for one round.
So what won the day?
Well, Johnny came with his, as he would put it, big fat, whatever he's playing deck, big fat Cardassian Romulan Sona surprise deck. A lot of things in there, but lots and lots of free reports. He had four headquarters to report to, I guess, or facilities. You know, the two Romulan headquarters, Cardassia. You know, free Sona, free Baku to the planet, although I didn't see him play any Baku. And, of course, Dominion War Efforts get you basically a free guy every turn. So he was generating a lot of people and doing a lot of card drawing and a lot of handshaking. And the other big surprise was he was playing six planets. So he came in knowing I've got to play to 140 points. That was his central conceit.
Wow.
But I mean, certainly against me, we were both 2-0 and played in the last round, and because I had two all space dilemmas combos to have to split up.
Sure.
That meant that basically I had to take my four other combos and kind of take them apart. And actually, I don't think my two space combos are all combos. I think they're two space and one dual. So I know it basically worked out too. I had six combos three dilemmas under each mission, but they were each two real dilemmas and a misseed.
Okay.
So I guess that does work out to six. I don't know. But yeah, it certainly diluted the effectiveness of stopping him. I think he kind of had that in mind because he had such an onslaught of people. He didn't do the traditional, I've got to do insurrection first so that I can
sure
pump up all my guys and get my double turn and everything. Which is smart because that being such a popular strategy these days, lots of people have started playing Dead End so they can seed it there. And that was naturally the first thing I did. Unfortunately, my combo there was lack of prep, misseed, Dead End. So after he did his two homeworlds and came over to do that, he just waltzed through it.
Right, because, yeah, he brought everything he needed. Yeah.
So... yeah, it was really heavy duty and really effective. Even my newly unbanned Klim Dakotchin was not enough to slow him down.
Wow. did you have anything else new and improved? Because I think you said you were playing something different-ish. Right.
Different-ish is a great way of putting it. I wanted very badly to get. I had been going through my deck list to notice I had played Terran Empire 4 times, and I was one away by my calculations from the fifth. And Terran Empire being my sort of, I don't know, they're my Borg to you.
They're your go-to.
Yeah, they're my go-to. They're my like. I kind of cornered them out as my little territory, and they're one of my favorite affiliations. So I was like, I really should get this before anybody else does. my own personal standards. So, but I didn't, again, because we have the Spatial Rifts atmosphere in San Diego, I didn't want to keep bringing the same deck over and over and over again, both because I didn't want people to get bored playing against it, and I also didn't want them to, know what I was going to do before I did it.
Sure, you get a little predictable there.
Exactly. So I took out about a third of it, and I replaced it with Bajoran Resistance.
For the card draws, the free plays, or both, or just something different?
It was something different that I could see fitting in really well. I was already, sort of half in the Bajor region for Alpha Quadrant, and... I've seen like Jeremy Commander used to run a really solid Federation Bajoran Treaty mirror deck, but he focused a little more on actually playing lots of Bajorans and using the Bajoran mirror people, and I didn't want to take too much out, and so it was like, well, they all report for free, so it keeps a free engine in there, plus the card engine ended up being a huge benefit that I was like, well, that'll be a fringe benefit, but not why I'm doing it, and turned out to be really awesome. And I think my favorite addition, though, was I had to swap one mission to get an extra Cardassian icon to play an espionage card on.
Right, for your card dress.
Exactly. And I ended up adding Corsari Rendezvous as a new space mission. It meant that I couldn't beam straight to it, because it wasn't in the Bajor region like I usually do. But I tried to get it as close to the Bajor region as I could during mission setup, and it is a great mission for my guys. Officer 2 Treachery and, 25 points, but I pitch 4 weapons and it's 45 points, and I have a ton of weapon downloads.
With... 45 points and then another mission in the mirror quadrant. Were you going just 2 missions and then doboing the rest of the way?
No. In the continuing interest of making things different, I didn't completely take out Dabo, but I made it less reliant on it. I used to be really stringent about keeping the deck down to, only 4 bad probes and knowing what they were and how I could get them out before I start daboing. And because of that, I wanted to because of, you know, that made it I could do three missions and still get the win. Because I can usually do the planet missions in the Mirror Quadrant pretty easily. It's the it's getting out and doing the space. And the one I usually do is what's the Acquirelist Explosives, which is only 25 points, and so I'm usually ending up having to get bonus points or a fourth mission to get that full win. And with the big Corsari Rendezvous, it was easier. So yeah, it was cool. It would have worked too if it wasn't for those damn kids. No, I almost got to full win against TV, but he was playing lots of point loss slash point lots of point related dilemmas.
Now, I know of all of us, you have the biggest reputation for every once in a while, or most of the time, throwing in a balancing act. How long ago did you take it out?
Well, that would be telling.
Well, yes, it would.
It's been a long time. You're right. I used to just have one around in case, and I think if I kept saying if I had played my Dyson Sphere, you totally would have been screwed. But I don't really think there's a way to get it out of the Dyson Sphere, is there?
No, there's not. But perhaps by using the Dyson Sphere, you could have freed up some other spaces.
I almost tried that too, but it was one more. I was already taking out a few seed cards and adding a few seed cards. I swapped around my starting strategy since I had the treaty out. I went with Odo, o Overseer Odo, instead of my usual convoluted shenanigans for getting process ore and my mission specialists and everything, and just went for the security download and Odo and a couple of engineers. And I even went a couple of processing without two engineers, and ducked my head and waited for the worst to happen. But nobody this time had had the reactor. What is it?
Reactor overload.
Reactor overload. Except for Johnny. I could see Johnny hovering as soon as any time I processed ore, and I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna try it against him. And I knew I had a double engineer waiting in the wings, so.
Sure.
But yeah, it was fairly effective. I even changed up my dilemmas and my anti-ship redshirting combos for space worked as designed, completely intentionally, as opposed to accidentally, not on purpose. So
So
that was
you
nice.
thwarted someone's attempt to redshirt in space, is what you're saying?
I did. I had the arsenal, the space arsenal. I can never keep straight which is which, but the one where you they
I
split
think
up
it's
and you have to have,
separated, yeah.
yeah. So you had to have a ship with significant number of people on it, and then the cloud, which is a rough dilemma by itself. And he hit that and failed, stopped until the end of your next turn and damaged. And then, as predicted, he came in with another ship with one or two guys on it just to see what the last dilemma was, and it was a Gomtu, which when you fail, which you can't pass with two people, it damages every ship at that mission and then fails the
Including the one
flag.
that was already damaged and had all those people on it.
Correct.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah, and that was under both. I had a different combo, but that was the best one. But they both ended in Gomtu because it was just too good.
It's a pretty good card, since it's a wall now.
Yeah. Redshirting in space has been a long grumbled problem. I know certainly in our area, and so that was gratifying to see that work that way. But in the end, I think everybody seemed to have a decent time. John, as I said, Johnny took the win. Went undefeated. I believe he got 100. One win was 180 points, and another win was 160 points. It was crazy.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure he had said at some point that someone was going to show up with a with an all planet or all space deck just to, you know, to keep the meta honest. But yeah, well, that's the way to do it.
I've certainly considered it a couple of times, but yeah, that was an interesting way to do it. That was that deck was just insane. The onslaught of cards. So congratulations to him.
Was there triples afterward?
There was, and you know, we were so depleted because of basically the people who aren't involved with the Rocket Race or plan on actually running the Rocket Race were at the tournament, and all the people who assist were off playtesting, and so several of them showed up for triples afterwards, and so we were able to have a nice round of that, and my two early round I don't know what do you call it, go outs. I went out the first two rounds early, and that would manage to hold things up.
What were you playing this time?
I was playing a modified version of my rescue deck. Ironically, my traditional rescue deck does not have enough rescues to count as a rescue deck for achievement purposes.
Ah, yes, I did the same thing.
And so
shuffled a few more rescues in and took up. Well, tell me, did you just make your deck bigger, or did you change your cards out?
I swapped a few cards out. I did not want to make my deck any bigger. It seemed to have a good cycling size, where I had enough cards to not run out, but not so many that I wasn't frequently getting numbers not getting numbers I needed. So I decided to swap out for the extra copies of rescue I needed, and just go with it that way.
Yeah, I think that's about what I did as well. Oh. I've spent the last, I don't know, I've been busy with all this other stuff, but I've managed to make two Tribbles decks. I've got them sitting on the counter here, and I'm just waiting. So I see that there is a pair of tournaments posted before and after Thanksgiving Day, so the Wednesday and the Saturday. Will there be Tribbles at these, do you suppose?
I would say for Wednesday, probably not, although it is the day before Thanksgiving. People don't have to get up and go to work or anything, so mm-hmm. that may change if people are up for it and want to stay out that late. I certainly would be up for sticking around for some Tribbles.
Yeah, very good. Then I will bring one to each of these because that sounds like a fun time.
Yeah. It's interesting. I actually got a PM from a player about my rescue deck, my usual rescue deck, because he really wants to play it, but he is short on the big numbers, the rares that are not printable, and was wondering, you know, if it's still playable, if there's a recommendation for what to do with that, because the 10,000 rescues and the 100,000 rescues are so hard to come by. And I said, yeah, you should totally go for it. 10,000 go is actually much more important in that deck, I think. To get in the discard pile so you can keep playing rather than just feeding a bunch of cards from your discard pile and never going out. And then go for some 100,000 replays. Or, you know, going from this weekend, Matt was going crazy with 100,000 clones. I think all of his 100,000s were rescues and clones. So he would, rather than going around the horn and trying to keep going, he would always end off with, you know, 10,000 something, 100,000 rescue, 100,000 clone.
Yeah, that's a lot of points.
It's like, whoa.
Was TK there to poison anybody?
He was not. He had to take off. So instead we had, Johnny was poisoning, and Matt was poisoning a little bit. Matt must have had a huge deck, because I looked afterwards, and he qualified for Poison Player, Rescue Player, Clone Player, and Rainbow. So that's 18, 20, 20, 36. That's 36 cards plus another 25 cards. Well, yeah, so I guess that's not, as long as they're all different.
So 60 card deck or so?
Yeah. I guess that's what I play with anyway. I didn't really think about it, but...
Yikes. Well, if he would have won, that would have been amazing number of achievements.
Wait, no, it's more than that. 18, 36, so 56 just to get the three qualifications.
Okay, so around 80 cards
Plus
then.
another 25 or so.
Yeah.
20, yeah. So yeah,
Think of all
that's a
the
big thing.
achievements you would have
Yeah, he was like, "Okay, guys, take a fall. Let me get my eight achievements."
got.
Like, yeah, fat chance. He was really close a couple of times though. He had a lot of points, and we're like, "Oh my God, he's gonna go out." Not gonna work. But yeah, I think the only reason I ended up carrying through with the win was because everybody did well. It was a race, a four-way race for. I had 640,000 or something after the first two rounds, and at the end, everybody had 300,000
Oh.
or so. So it was really anybody's game when it came to the last round.
Right. Well, earlier in the week there was a bit of a TUI tournament, and you had five, again, 4.5 people for that.
No, we had six.
Six. Okay.
We had a full. In fact, we had seven, but Charlie opted to stay out, so we would not have the bye.
It's a pretty good turnout for a Wednesday night.
It is. I was surprised. We had a great number. We had me and Johnny and Thomas and Thomas and Nate and Charlie and Matt. And of the six players who actually played, half of the tournament was Cardassian.
Now, was there a bounty up for Cardassian, or was it just a happy random coincidence?
No, it was just random coincidence. Well, I don't know. You could I seriously doubt it has anything to do with this, but we did talk about that particular Cardassian deck on the show last week, and talk with an eye towards playing it that Wednesday. So I don't know if anybody subliminally got the message or what, but it actually affected me because I was going to play something else, and then after I talked to Charlie about it on the show, I was like, "Oh yeah, that Cardassian Grommal deck is something I've been wanting to try from tacking in the win. Maybe I'll just play that this week."
How'd it do for you?
For me, well, it won. It won all three games.
Well, congratulations then.
I was pleasantly surprised. In fact, I think I joked there and continually after that tournament that I should retire from TUI, and if it didn't mean probably not being able to keep pace in the achievements race, I might consider it because I had to play TK, and then I had to play Johnny, and then I had to play Nate. And getting a victory against any one of them is a good day for me. And if you had told me, weeks ago that I had played in a tournament and beat TK and Johnny, and I would have said, "Well, I must have won that tournament because having to play both of them meant that I would be in the later rounds, and having to beat both of them must have meant I did pretty well." But then after that, I had to go and play our North American Continental Champion, who recently moved to the
Right.
area, and made that, game-changing mistake against in our first meetup. So there was some, it wasn't like, "Oh my God, I'm playing this really good person. I have to do really well." It was okay. Don't make a game-changingly stupid mistake like you did last time.
So, what is your opinion of the Grommal crew? Because I haven't played it yet, and it's been out for quite a while, at least a month or three.
Yeah,
What do you think?
I think they're very powerful.
Did it help that everyone else was playing Cardassian? Did it mean that you didn't see, a particular deck type that you would have expected to do well against you?
I don't know about that. It did help in that. Certainly in my first game against TK. So the other two Cardassian decks, TK was playing a very similar deck to mine. He was playing the Grommal. Johnny was actually playing a more traditional flavor of Cardassian. So he was not necessarily playing the Grommal deck. But first game against DK, I'm still learning how to play it and not sure what he's doing and everything. I think being able to look at my hand or look at my crew and, remember the people that he's played and see the skills they had and see the abilities they had was a pretty big advantage. you know, knowing that, okay, he's only played these seven guys, he's attempting with six, so I can kind of keep track of in my head who he had,
mm-hmm.
and know what skills they might have, what abilities he might have, what cards, you know, and judging on the cards he had in hand. I think their biggest advantage is the same advantage that the Equinox enjoys, which is that their primary abilities that make them so good are not anything you can cancel. It's not an interrupt.
Right,
it's not an
it's
event.
Pitch a ship, right?
It's a personnel or ship based ability. You know, it's on the card that you can't do anything about it. So yeah, they're all pitch a ship to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Damar is their main engine, which is, you know, pitch a ship to draw three cards, and Dakot is pitch a ship to gain any skill till the end of the turn. There's a non-unique guy who pitches the ship to make himself attributes plus one, up to a limit of four per turn.
How many times did you pitch a ship on average per game?
You know, I got so many ready in my hand, and a lot of times I just held them. I definitely pitched a lot because you do the, you basically do the Damar thing every turn. I realized after a couple rounds of playing it that he is basically another iteration of Cardassian Protectorate or Pillage of Bajor,
mm-hmm.
because the ship lets you once per turn discard up to three cards to gain that many ships back from your discard pile. So if you discard a ship with Damar to draw three cards and then, you know, pick one that you don't care about and discard it to get that ship back, you've basically done the usual Cardassian draw three and discard one to keep two.
Sure, yeah.
And you've got to keep your ship in hand.
Okay.
They were paired, I think the added kicker was pairing them with the AU Garrick.
Yeah.
Instead of the standard cheater Garrick, which gets any skill on the person you discard. AU Garrick gets any skill as long as you discard an AU card. And if you have three of those AU ships, you get the Rakasa.
Right.
You discard it for a skill on Garrick, and then if you haven't used the Gromalus text this turn, then you can discard a card and get that AU ship back. So you basically have unlimited fuel.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So you got two people who can gain skills. You got an attribute gainer.
Yeah.
Is there any unstopping?
Yeah, but I never used it. Zial is the only unstopper, and much like her previous versions, the 6/4/4 attributes just make her not worth playing.
Right.
Every time I had her in hand, I had better cards, and I needed to discard stuff to get ships, and I almost always ended up discarding her to get something else.
All right. Fair enough.
But yeah, that having the Rakasa as an AU ship that could, you know, that was one card that could fuel Dakot or Garrick. That was crazy good to get any skill. And you know, it wasn't always the focusing on stopping or killing the one skill gainer guy, because there was two of them running around.
Right on. Well, congratulations on winning the tournament. Is this something you'd play again? Did you enjoy the build, or would you try to pair him up with something?
I would totally play it again. I already made a couple of notes. I can't believe halfway through the game, my second game, I was like, how could I have not put in tactical disadvantage in my deck?
Oh, I right. All the ships you've got.
That was a huge error. Largely because I was like, oh, I haven't done the Capture Dilemma achievement yet, I'll do that. And so I just kind of threw some of those in for fun, and it actually ended up being really effective. I didn't really focus on the capturing aspect. I just had them in there. I had one evac, and I had a couple of the ensnareds and the capture dilemmas, but like it was really effective against TK right away. I managed to capture Damar and Dukat.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And you know, the because there's so much anti-stopping and anti-killing tech floating around, the capture ended up being particularly effective because, you know, the people weren't prepared to
sure.
counter it. But yeah, I would throw in a couple of those dilemmas. I would take out Eamon Maritza, because his strength of three almost always got in the way more than the skill gaining would have. I had plenty of skill gaining that I didn't need him. Mila was awesome. I would probably put in a third copy of her.
Did you find that this deck did le it was less about, you know, playing itself like the Taric Nord deck, that you actually had to make some decisions in game?
Yeah, I mean, you have to hand management, which, as you know, is a particular weakness of mine, is a big part of it. You have to be willing to give stuff up. There's a lot of, well, do I want to play this or do I want to keep it in hand? Oh, Kira is the other person who has came out for that. She downloads a ship when you play her, so that's also useful. But I frequently had multiple copies. The other big crux of that deck that actually I threw in as a side note to have more fuel for Garak and actually being awesome in his own right was Mardell, the AU guy who you can discard a personnel to add their cost to his attributes till the end of a dilemma. That got
Oh.
yeah. I had a usually had a full hand of cards at the you know every turn,
Sure.
and you know that got me past Gomtu once. It got me past Greater Needs, which was pretty huge. It was some key dilemmas that helped me skate by with a lot of three cost people floating around to discard. So yeah, I would definitely play it again.
Were you using the play as a thing to get more AU icons, or did you not bother?
No, you know that I thought about that when I was looking at it, and it with the ship recursion, you don't really need it. I had
Okay.
three Garrick's in, I had three Garrick's and three ships. So,
Were you using the Imagine Commander?
no. Oh yeah,
Just a
I
ship.
think I had one of him in there,
Okay.
because he's got a ton of skills.
Yeah.
But I didn't actually do it. You know, I'd never actually played the ship to get the people on the ship to have those because. The AU, what you really need is AU icons in your hand.
Right. Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Neat. Well, maybe I'll steal that deck and play it at
I
the
highly
tournament
recommend it. It was a lot of fun.
on Wednesday. yeah, I've been meaning to make something from that set, and that seems like a good place to start, so
Yeah.
very good. Well, shall we shift gears back to 1E for a bit?
Yeah. We've been seeing a lot of Resistance is futile bustling on the site. What do you think, Mr. Borg?
Yeah, there's a card that's been on the ban list for a while, and it's finally coming off the ban list, and I'm very happy.
Really? Oh, is it is it the card you broke right away?
Yeah, well, so there's this drone that was in Recollections 2, and it lets you put any card on top of your deck, namely the Queen, which is a good probe for just about every Borg objective. That's pretty good, and I remember I took it to a card tournament. I think it was a Comic Con, and I played against Jeremy, and he had specifically built his deck to combat it by putting in all these Cue the Refs and all these jugglers. And it
Oh,
was a
wow.
fight to see who had the most resources to put things on top of the deck. And in the end, there's just since you can turn any card draw into the download of a drone, and you can continually put that drone back under your deck with what's his name of nine. It's just ridiculous. You cannot shuffle my deck more times than I can put something on top of it.
Yeah.
So anyway, a card was banned. But he comes back. This is 6 of 96. The identification is reconnaissance drone. So there he is.
Now he was a 2E card, a backwards compatible 2E card.
That's
So
it.
this is a conversion.
This is a conversion. He has all of the same skills. He's got exo security, transporter skill, navigation. Instead of fetching a non drone personnel and putting on top of your deck, now he says, when you play this personnel, you may shuffle any deck, then peek at the top two cards. So he's getting reconnaissance, which is
Okay.
makes more sense than I think literally than the 2E card, but. You can shuffle any deck, so that means any side deck. I can shuffle up your Q's tent and look at the top two cards if I want.
Oh, weird.
You shuffle up your tactics and see what you've got on top.
Wow.
I can shuffle up your Q flash and see what you've got on top. Or,
Oh,
most importantly, I can shuffle up my own deck, look at the top two cards, and then decide if I want to
probe.
leave that good probe there or try to download something else from my deck and shuffle it again and hope I get a better draw.
Oh, and he is universal.
He is a universal.
So you could, I mean, you get so many, as I now know,
Yes.
from my vast Borg experience in first edition over the last month,
Yeah.
you get any number of card draws converted into card plays before the end of your turn, like at least three,
Yeah.
if you're doing things right. So if you have enough of him in here, you could get one, shuffle your deck, look at the top two, and then if that doesn't suit your needs, get another one, which would shuffle your deck anyway, but then get to look at the top two again. Wow.
So he can't rig your probe, but he can give you a couple of opportunities to check and make
Yeah.
sure you've got what you need.
Or for that matter, if you look at the top two and the second one is good, you can
You
actually
can,
draw a card for once
yeah,
instead of converting the
exactly.
draw into a download.
Just like his, I guess his unconverted version, he's got a red defense subcommand icon. His converted stats are 5/5/7, and his number is 12V.
Well, that sounds like it's going to be a good addition and more appropriate to the title of reconnaissance drone.
Scout areas where resistance is anticipated, secure. Biological distinctiveness, human species.
Wow, you could shuffle my Dyson Sphere
And look and see what you're
and
playing
just
with.
look to see what, two random dilemmas you might face. That would give you a clue as to what downloading, either what dilemmas, yeah, what downloading dilemmas might be seated under there somewhere.
Yeah, if I had, say, three of them, let's see, if you had 13 cards there, I'd look at two, shuffle it, look at two, shuffle it, and look at two. I won't be guaranteed to see half of your cards, but I'd probably see at least four different ones.
Yeah.
And that's assuming you're playing with a full deck, so to speak.
Yeah, I have not seen a full Dyson Sphere door.
Really?
I've tried it a couple of times, and I gotten up to eight, but
Even with all the Terek Nord dilemmas you can throw in there?
oh yeah,
Or Empok Nor, sorry.
I didn't think about that. Well, I haven't played with all of them at once, so maybe
Usually,
that's
I just throw
different.
them in there because if you're playing Empok Nor, I'm going to make it as difficult as possible. Even
Sure,
though,
pile 'em on.
you probably could still make that super crew on the first or second turn that can get past them all, the fact that I'm making you will delay you a turn, right?
Yeah, that's true. At least a turn.
Yeah, maybe I can get over there first. Because, if I thought I could get over
After
there
I
first,
clear
I
it out for
wouldn't
you, yeah.
speak. Yeah.
Hey, that's my station.
Very good. We still don't have any spoilers for the TUI set.
I don't know what you're talking about. I got spoilers.
All right.
But we
Well,
heard them last week.
save from drugging the chairman and getting him back on the show, we haven't seen any spoilers through our usual channels.
That is true.
So we're
But
going to have to step that up.
we'll have to increase the traffic flow of information coming out of that end, but we did get a quite a healthy bit of information on it last year or last week rather, and it's definitely looking like it's shaping up to be a fun, interesting set. We will try to get something more specific for the future, perhaps as something to be thankful for.
Yes, very good. That's about when it's probably going to go up too. That's funny. All right, then I say we wrap this.
I think that's a good idea. That is the end of our intelligence for this particular episode. I'm going to go and do some more villainous research for the rocket race. In the meantime, we'll give a shout out to Warp 11 for their fantastic theme song, and I think that's it.
I got an extra shout out to Joshua Sheets. Do you know what he did?
I do, because you told me, but it's awesome, so we should totally thank him.
I received a box on the Continuing Community Warehouse steps today that had 6 starter deck boxes of Trouble with Tribbles.
So not 6 starter decks.
No, I got a case.
6 boxes of starter decks.
6 boxes of starters.
That's a lot.
This is for, I put out the call for card backs because we're running a little low. I went through all of mine, and I got some donated from Matt, and I went through all of yours, and we're kind of coming down to the end. We've got enough for quite a while now, so that's awesome.
That is amazing. Well, thanks.
I want to break one of these out and play sealed deck.
Yeah, I was just going to say, can you not put a card over one of those Koloths? Because I think I may have traded all of mine on this.
Sure, you remember that promo that I owed you? I'll just give you the Koloth instead.
Yeah, there we go.
Very good.
All right. Well,
so thank you, Joshua, for this. And for the other 2 or 3 folks that promised they would be sending me cards in the mail, I look forward to filing those away in the warehouse as well. Thank you very much. The Continuing Community appreciates your donation.
As do all the players who end up getting those promos. I'm for one, I'm a fan. So thanks to Josh, and thanks to Warp 11. In the meantime, I am Sir Rogue.
And I am Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to discard some ships to expand your power in the universe.
And when you discard them, they can go into the Continue Committee's warehouse.
Yeah.
128 times to end.
You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. They are always watching you, but you cannot.